Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. A very, very warm welcome to this Thursday afternoon live edition of Revival in Motion. It is another Thursday and another opportunity for us to connect, for us to review Islam of what we know and to learn that which we have not learned before. It's an opportunity for us to grow with Islamic knowledge, not only in seeking the theoretical knowledge, the textual knowledge, but also seeking to pursue living knowledge, making that knowledge come alive. And knowledge comes alive through practical application. So let's make that firm intention as we begin today's program that we intend to make the knowledge we learn come alive. On Tuesday morning in the Living the Legacy program, we spoke about believers whose hearts never stagnate, believers who constantly look for that which makes their hearts stay alive, for that which keeps the spiritual heart alive, well, healthy, and happy. What is it that keeps your heart, your spiritual heart alive? What is it that keeps your spiritual heart healthy and well, connected to Allah, in awe of Allah, and conscious of your Islamic duties? As we proceed in today's program, I'd like you to keep that point at the forefront of your mind and to refer back to it often, so that we can be reminded of our purpose of living, of being alive, and remind ourselves that we need to constantly fulfill that purpose of life, that purpose of living and being alive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I hearts that are alive, hearts that are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hearts that are filled with love, respect, devotion, and awe for Allah, the Creator. My name is Rehana Omar, and we spend this hour together, and it's always interactive, always a chance to learn with and from you, please, inshallah. To stay interactive, you can tweet us, and inshallah, we're going to be using the hashtag Sahaba, so hashtag S-A-H-A-B-A, as we continue with our journey in exploring the life and legacy of Aisha radiallahu anha, mother of the believers, the daughter of Islam's first Khalif, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Also on the program, our weekly dua. So stay listening to find out what the dua is that I'll be sharing with you. Again, a dua from amongst the authentic prophetic supplications, a dua from the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'll be sharing a dua with you, a very interesting dua and a very important dua that we all should be knowing about. That, inshallah, will be coming up later on in the program. As always, we begin the program with reminders for you and I, reminders so that we can constantly be in a state and living a life where our hearts are alive with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, when we neglect making dhikr, when we neglect the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a part of us dies, a part of us literally stagnates, suffocates, and that is the spiritual heart. As the body needs water and food to stay alive, even the bare minimum, right? A person with starvation, a person starving, needs the bare minimum to stay alive. What about our hearts? Do we underfeed them? Are our hearts malnourished? Do we feed our hearts? We talk so much about poverty, wealth, and riches. But are our hearts malnourished? Are our hearts impoverished? Are our hearts starving and dying of thirst because we have not quenched that thirst and satiated the hunger of the spiritual heart with the remembrance of Allah? The remembrance of Allah quenches the thirst of the heart. It's like putting a sponge that absorbs water, and imagine that sponge to be your heart. And as you make dhikr, you're watering the hearts and you're allowing for these beautiful plants for Jannah to grow for you, inshallah. It is said, and based upon a hadith that talk about the fada'il of dhikr, that when we make dhikr, that's when the construction and the building in Jannah takes place. Our palaces and gardens and castles and homes and rivers are being constructed and built and renovated and expanded. But the minute we halt, the minute we stop, we neglect making dhikr, the minute we neglect the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then that building also halts. That building also stops temporarily until and unless we continue with dhikr. And then the building continues. Imagine a person who has a piece of property, piece of land. And they decide that they're going to build on that land. So they've purchased the land. Right? And that's like our iman. Right, the first step of purchasing the land of spiritual homeland of Jannah, the iman. And now a person wants to build on that property. They want to build on that land. So what do? They begin purchasing the building materials and the building equipment. And they employ the aid and the expertise of builders and architects and construction workers. Right, so we have those tools, we have the dhikr, we know what is dhikr, we know the different types of dhikr we should be making. We know also the virtues behind the dhikr and the adhkar. We have motivation from the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. We have proof in how we feel physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically when we make dhikr. We feel stronger, empowered, peaceful, restful, don't we? Alhamdulillah. And so the angels that are specifically created by Allah to be of those building and constructing in Jannah get busy with this honorable task. And as they build our homes and lay the foundation of our palaces in paradise, they base this upon the dhikr we read. Some dhikr will earn us trees in Jannah. Other azkar, other, that's the plural of dhikr, will earn us palaces of rubies and crystals and gold and silver and gems. And other azkar will earn us rivers in Jannah. Subhanallah. And as we recite, those homes are being built, constructed and expanded. So, whenever you can, and as much as you can, make dhikr. Make dhikr often. And bold and invest in your akhirah. So based on that, I'd like to begin today's reminder with you. And I want to remind myself and yourself by asking one question. Are you ready? How many times do we sin in a day? How often do you and I sin in a day? Do you remember? Can you think back to this day thus far and ask yourself, how many times have I sinned today? How much of sins have I committed? How much of wrong, how much of guna have I done for today? What if there was something we could do each day that only took a few minutes and could lead to forgiveness of our minor sins? That's right. What if there was a special formula that you and I could do, and if we take up this formula every day, we can start earning the forgiveness of our minor sins. But now I want you to imagine that apart from just, you know, earning forgiveness of your minor sins, when you apply this formula in your life, you will also be rewarded for reviving a sunnah, inshallah. Now, I'm sure you're all wondering how. What do I need to do to have my minor sins forgiven? And it's only going to take me a few minutes. And when I do this formula, I'm also going to be reviving a sunnah. What is it? It is by saying, Subhanallahi wa bihamdi, 100 times each day. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, 100 times each day. Now, I want you to also imagine that on the Day of Judgment, right, the coming Day of Judgment, and you're going to see mountains of good deeds filling up your scale. Where did these good deeds come from? Where? In a hadith recorded in Al-Bukhari, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen carefully. He said, there are two words which are dear to the beneficent Allah and very light, meaning easy, for the tongue to say, but very heavy in weight in the balance. They are Subhanallah wa bihamdihi and Subhanallah al-Azim. And in a hadith recorded in Sahih Muslim, the most beloved of speech according to Allah is when the servant, that means you and I, says Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. And in English we translate that to be, how transcendent is Allah, and we praise Him. Now you and I probably have heard of these ahadith, especially when we attend the Bukhari Khatam Jalsas for the Ali Mu'alima course, right? But do we remember to perform them daily? Do we remember this formula for success? Do we invest in our akhirah using this formula? So here's three things that you can do that can help you to engage actively in the zikr, that can help you develop and build mountain loads of good deeds for your scale of good deeds on the day of Qiyamah, to revive a sunnah, to have your minor sins forgiven. You could place a note, a post-it note on the dashboard of your car, on your phone, as an app reminder, on your fridge magnet. Ask someone to remind you. Put it as an alarm clock on your phone. But look at something that you can do to remember. If you had something really important to do for yourself, for your children, for work, how would you remember it? So whatever technique you would use to remember, whether it's a list, whether it's asking someone to remind you, whether it's setting an alarm clock, do that. Be desperate to invest in your akhirah. Be desperate, be ambitious, be focused on investing in your akhirah. You're only going to have one chance, and that's here in this dunya, to invest in your akhirah. So do something, do whatever you need to do, do whatever it takes to remind yourself daily to recite Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, or Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, 100 times each day. So you can say the 100 all at once, or you can spread them out throughout the day. I know of a sister who reads 20 after each salah, and that helps her remember. I know another sister who associates it with brushing her teeth, meaning you've got to brush your teeth every day. So she recites them in the morning after she brushes her teeth, because she never forgets to brush her teeth. Hence, she never forgets to earn this reward, to revive the sunnah, and to have her minor sins forgiven. Or if you have a halaqa at work or at school or at home, you could recite it together as a family, as a teaching unit in your classroom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who make dhikr frequently in devotion and with sincerity and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our weekly challenge for today, recitation of Subhanallah wa bihamdihi at least 100 times each day. Revive a sunnah, invest in your akhirah, fill up your scale of good deeds, and earn forgiveness of your minor sins from Allah, the most merciful, the most forgiving. It's just gone past 21 minutes past the hour of 2 Central African time, and a warm welcome if you've joined us. We've been talking about investing in your hereafter, investing in the afterlife, and that's by reading, reciting dhikr, and today a reminder to you and I to recite Subhanallah wa bihamdihi meaning how transcendent is Allah, and we praise Him. Coming up on the program later on today, inshallah, I'll be sharing with you a weekly dua where we turn our attention to the authentic dua, the authentic supplications of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'll be sharing one with you. A lot of people say that the duas I'm sharing are unusual, and I think by that we mean duas that we're not often reminded of. Alhamdulillah, they're all authentic duas that are mentioned in the ahadith. And inshallah, I'll be sharing enough dua with you, a reminder for those who know the dua, and for those who don't, inshallah, a chance to learn another dua, a chance to revive the sunnah. The program really is all about that, a chance for you and I to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to connect to our Creator by connecting with the most beloved, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who turn to Him frequently and often, insha'Allah. Ameen. Time for us now to turn our focus to the life of one of Islam's brightest stars. She is proof that a woman can be more learned than others, and that she can be the teacher of scholars and experts. Her life is proof that a woman can exert influence over other women and men and provide them with inspiration and leadership. Her life is also proof that our sisters can be totally feminine and a source of comfort and joy to their families. The bulk of her vast treasure of knowledge was obtained while she was still very young. We explored her life and her early childhood and discovered that she was brought up by her father, a man for whom all doors of paradise will be flung wide open, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, a man who was well-liked and respected, greatly loved. He was a man of knowledge and gentle manners, and he had an agreeable, amiable presence. But most importantly, he was the closest friend of the noble messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was known for her formidable memory, her striking beauty. She was known to have acquired such knowledge and insight from her husband, such as no woman has ever acquired. She was Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a mother to the believers. May Allah be pleased with her. Last week, Thursday, we discussed her worship. Who was Aisha, the worshipper? How did she worship Allah? And we discovered that all aspects of her worship and her spiritual routine was deeply influenced and formulated on the manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her husband, the last and final messenger, worshipped Allah. Today, we discover her humility and asceticism. Aisha radiallahu anha didn't meddle in any issues that had no influence or no importance in her life. She didn't spend time nagging people about their mistakes or speaking to them in a condescending way. Among the hundreds and thousands of ahadith that Aisha radiallahu anha narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's impossible to find a distorted or negative expression. She warned those who abused others, and she did not shy away from pointing out what was clearly wrong. When Hassan ibn Thabit was charged by a religious law and started to condemn himself and be harsh on his own self, Aisha radiallahu anha consoled this old Sahabi by saying, "Yet you are not as bad a person as you are saying," she told him. She comforted him even though he had hurt her years ago with similar statements. Aisha radiallahu anha never slandered anyone, nor did she hold grudges. Until her death, she was an example of forgiveness towards those who even worked openly against her. One day, when her nephew and student Urwa radiallahu anhu denounced Hassan ibn Thabit, Aisha radiallahu anha became angry and said, "Do not condemn him. He was an important man who defended the Messenger of Allah." When people around Aisha radiallahu anha engaged in gossip or backbiting, particularly about someone who was deceased, about someone who had passed on, Aisha radiallahu anha would become upset, and she would pray to Allah for the forgiveness of the person that had been talked about. Aisha radiallahu anha said, "The Messenger of Allah said, 'Only speak well of your dead.'" She practiced her deen precisely. One day she heard that the orphans staying with her in her home had brought back a game similar to backgammon. She became angry and she sent a message saying, "Either you throw it out or I will come and take it out." Aisha radiallahu anha felt anxious even about her dreams. She never thought that they were meaningless, and thought perhaps they contained important messages about the interpretation of ahadith. A single nightmare either made her give sadaqah or free a slave the next day. Subhanallah. She would habitually use any small excuse to free a slave. Subhanallah. One day, Aisha radiallahu anha fell ill, and people told a man from the Zat tribe about her illness because he had some knowledge of it. Coming to Aisha radiallahu anha's house, the man spoke of what the jinn had told him. And so they said it was something about witchcraft that had been performed. And so immediately she went and she set free another slave. Subhanallah. This was the life of Aisha radiallahu anha, that at one instance, just in one instance, she emancipated a total of 67 slaves. She spoke to everyone, she had no pride, and she never looked down on anyone. After the break, I'm going to tell you a story about Aisha radiallahu anha. A story about her, about a bag of bread, and a man who asked for food. More after the break, but do remember the program's interactive with the hashtag Sahaba, S-A-H-A-B-A, via WhatsApp to +61326085 92. Stay with us, more after the break.
Classic Creations, long-awaited half price, yes, half price Abaya sale is now on. Don't miss out. Hurry to Classic Creations, 15 Status Street, Extension 3, Linasia, or call them on 011-854-4195. That's 011-854-4195. Classic Creations, the ultimate in Abayas.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously towards our various community projects, namely building of masajid, madaris, schools and dawah programs for the underprivileged. We also offer computer, sewing and woodworking classes. We accept zakat, lilla, sadaqa and all other donations. Visit us at shop number L31 next to the South Sea Trade Route Mall or 31 Protea Avenue, Linasia. Call 011-854-9510. May the Almighty reward you for your continuous support.
Sedgar's, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgar's, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Have you visited Radio Islam's website at www.radioislam.co.za? Enlighten and benefit yourself by listening to audio podcasts of various on-air highlights. Listen or download discussions from categories such as current affairs, Salah awareness, family focus, loving our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, hijab focus, as well as many other pertinent topics that affect a Muslim. www.radioislam.co.za, taking Muslims to deeper dimensions and greater heights in the forum of international media. This is Radio Islam International.
This is Revival in Motion with Hafida Rayana on Radio Islam International. Stay inspired.
We began the hour with a discussion on reminders on dhikr and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the need for us to feed our hearts and souls and to ensure that we keep our hearts alive and we keep our hearts well rested and contented in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today on the program we discussed the dhikr of subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. May Allah make us of those who are frequent, consistent and regular in our remembrance of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, we continued with our current series, The Life and Times of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. And today, we're discussing the humility and asceticism of Aisha radiallahu anha. I'll be tweeting the key points of the program with the hashtag Sahaba, S-A-H-A-B-A. If you care to follow along with that, you can WhatsApp us to +6013-260-8592 or email to Raihana, R-A-Y-H-A-A-N-A-H @gmail.com. Now, I promised before the break to share with you a very interesting story of Aisha radiallahu anha. One day, she gave a small bag of bread to a man who had asked for food. After he had gone, another man who was destitute and who appeared to be mentally ill came. Aisha radiallahu anha called him near and offered him her own food. When the man had satisfied his hunger and left, Aisha radiallahu anha was asked why she behaved this way. And she answered, "How could I act differently when the Messenger of Allah said, 'Treat people in accordance with their condition'?" Despite every hardship she experienced, Aisha radiallahu anha lived frugally and never thought of obligating someone for a kindness she showed. Often today, we're very quick to remind people for the kindness we show them. "Look how kind I was to you. Look how good I was to you. Look what I did for you." So we remind people of the favors or the kindness we showered them with. And that's so far from the sunnah. Aisha radiallahu anha would actually hesitate to waste anything. And she wanted the people around her to exercise the same discipline. It is a life of simplicity that she chose for herself. And it is a lifestyle that she lived by. because hers was a life that was centered around the Akhirah. Alhamdulillah. Her choice to live simply was not a result of poverty. It was because even in times of plenty, she chose the same lifestyle. When the second Khalifa of Islam, Umar radiallahu anhu, sent her a bag of gold, she could not hold back tears, and she gave away all of that gold to those around her immediately. She still didn't think she had done enough, so she prayed to Allah that she would never be subjected to such a blessing again. A special student of hers, Aisha bint Talha, said, "Those of us who were close to her, based on our positions, young and old, came from all around and wrote letters and brought armfuls of gifts. I would present them to her saying, 'Oh dear aunt, this is so-and-so's letter, and this is her gift.' And she would tell me, 'Oh my dear girl, write a letter and send a gift in response. If you do not have a gift, I will give it to you.' And then she would send me a gift to send to those people." Aisha radiallahu anha had amazing willpower and determination. Neither the people around her nor the changing times were able to change her. Subhanallah. How many of us change because we say the times are changing? We need to keep up with the times. But we forget that Islam is timeless. Islam is timeless. She never gave up treating others justly, even those who hurt her, even those who oppressed her or gossiped about her. And she never based her actions on the wrongdoings of others. Some narratives say that Aisha radiallahu anha had one dress only. Others say she had only two dresses. And that when the dress was dirty, she would wash it and dry it and then wear it again. And that this was the general practice of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It said that during her first years in Medina Munawwara, when she first began living with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she owned a high quality garment that was worth a lot of money. And she made the women of Medina very happy because she would lend it to them for weddings or special occasions in rotation. So if someone had a wedding or a walima, or some special event, she would lend this dress to them, this very high quality dress. But she never thought to buy a new dress until the one she wore became completely worn out. In fact, it was her nephew, Urwa radiallahu anhu, who confirmed. Aisha radiallahu anha did not replace the garment that she wore with a new one until the one she had was threadbare and covered in patches. In those days, many people said to her, "Allah gives you so much. Why do you not benefit from it?" Aisha radiallahu anha, mother of the believers, gave a short and direct answer. Do you know what she said? When people said to her, "Allah has given you so much, why don't you benefit from it?" She said, "The new will not fit the ones who are not created for the new." Again, her response, very short, very direct and high impact. She said, "The new will not fit the ones who are not created for the same, for the new." And she said, I'm not going to give up this habit. When a gift was sent to her, Aisha radiallahu anha remembered the simple lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his statements on the issue. So she would shed tears and she would allocate the gifts to the needy. During his khilafat, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu sent Aisha radiallahu anha garments and silver and other things that she could use. And when she saw them, she started to weep and said, the messenger of Allah was not able to have any of these. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so she separated all the gifts of gold and money and garments into parts and gave them to needy people. And by that night, by that same night, nothing remains of what the Khalif had sent to her. One day, baskets full of grapes were brought to her as a gift, and she immediately started to give it to the poor. And so the female helper, who would help her with the housework, accompanied her. You know, accompanied her to give this out as sadaqah, give this out as charity, subhanallah. And so it was that Aisha radiallahu anha, in her actions, did not only earn her own akhirah, did not only earn her own hereafter, but that she also, subhanallah, shared in that reward with those around her and gave them the opportunity to earn thawab, to earn ajr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like Aisha radiallahu anha. Grant us that humility, that humbleness, that simplicity in our lives. Make us of those who realize that really, to be like Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, sometimes it seems that her example so lofty, how will we ever be like her? And then we are reminded that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us any example amongst his companions that we cannot live up to. Subhanallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who realize that her example is tremendous. And that every time we read her story or we learn her story, there is so much for us to learn from her story. We can always be inspired and in awe of her example, of how she lived, of how she set an example for each one of us. And again, as we know, she chose the simple lifestyle. She chose this humble lifestyle. This was her choice during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even after he passed away, for the years that she lived on, she still chose that as her lifestyle. So on the day that a basket full of grapes were brought to her, she gave it out immediately. She asked the helper, who would help her with the housework, to accompany her. And by nightfall, the lady came over, the helper came back to her with some grapes. And Aisha radiallahu anha was surprised because she thought that she had given away all the grapes. So she asked her helper, what's this? And the helper didn't know what to say. You see, she had kept some of the grapes without Aisha radiallahu anha's knowledge so that she could offer her the grapes at night. So Aisha radiallahu anha scolded her and said, one bunch, huh? And this surprised the helper. Then she understood the sensitivity of Aisha radiallahu anha. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, I swear to Allah that I will neither touch nor eat it. And she went away. So she continued to give away gifts that were brought to her throughout her life, always helping the poor. Aisha radiallahu anha knew that when she gave even a little, she would receive abundant blessings from Allah, who has infinite treasures to bestow. May Allah grant us the generosity, the humbleness, the simplicity of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. It's now 46 minutes past the hour of 2 Central African time. I do hope that you're enjoying exploring the rich legacy of Aisha radiallahu anha, that a story comes alive for you, and that you're able to draw from her example and her strength and be as courageous and be as beautiful in your character as she was. We go for our last break of the hour. When we return, we round up with this chapter and I share with you the dua of the week. Stay with us to find out what it is.
Kurbani with Crescent of Hope. Once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Kurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. And trust us with your Nifl or Wajib Kurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370. 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesha. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Ghana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesha. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match, but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
Where will the smart shoppers shop? At Honeybee, of course. Where else? Browse through our newly extended shop where you'll find that baking is a pleasure. At Honeybee, you'll find everything under one roof. From breathtaking floral arrangements, decadent chocolates, nutty parcels, appliances, biscuit boxes, and wedding and bridal gifts to please.
Win a Kenwood K-Mix baking machine and loads of other prizes. 10% of all baking goodies. Specials valid from the 4th and 5th and Sunday the 6th of September. Try our new molding chocolate exclusive to Honeybee.
Honeybee, our prices don't sting.
أسمعيني يا أخي صرخة النفس الأبية.
This is Revival in Motion with Hafida Rayana on Radio Islam International. Stay inspired.
On the program today, we've been discussing the life of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, a rich legacy that she's left behind for each of us, examples to follow, and a beautiful legacy for us to try to live up to. You know, many times people say, I'm bored, I don't know what to do. And subhanAllah, we say there's so much of Quran, there's so much of dhikr that we can recite, but if we can just devote a portion of our time to learning about these incredible, amazing individuals, we can, inshallah, really just immerse yourself in history, and there's so much to learn. And again, the focus, the emphasis is not just to learn, but also to apply what we learn. And yes, it cannot all be done in one day, but make it a journey. Take it on as your journey to explore the Islamic history and to start living up to that example, inshallah. Aisha radiallahu anha, remember, would give generously of what she had, knowing that everything came from Allah, Allah who has infinite treasures. She would care for the destitute. She would give them, supply to them for their needs. And there was nothing that pleased her more than the smile from a needy person. At times, when she had no money, she would sell her belongings and give the money as charity. Aisha radiallahu anha's nephew, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu, said, I swear to Allah, either our beloved mother Aisha would give up her attitude or I will stop her. And when she heard this from someone, she asked, did he really say this? Then she said, I swear not to talk with Ibn Zubair until the afterlife. So she did not speak to him, and that hurt her brother Abdullah ibn Zubair, and he looked for the solution, her brother-in-law, to restore this relationship. And he said, I won't go back to this issue and I won't give up my promise. So Abdullah radiallahu anhu asked two leaders, Miswar ibn Mahrama and Abdurrahman ibn Abd al-Aswad, to intercede on his behalf. And it was a duty, of course, for every believer to make peace between two believers. So they made a plan and went to Aisha radiallahu anha's door and said, Assalamu alaikum, are we allowed to come inside? Now, of course, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu was with them, but they didn't say that. So she said, welcome, come in. And they were happy. They said, all of us? She said, yes, all of you. So their plan made sure that Abdullah ibn Zubayr got in the house with them. And as soon as he entered, he begged her forgiveness from the other side of the curtain. And the Sahabis Miswar and Abdurrahman radiallahu anhum supported him and asked Aisha radiallahu anha to forgive him. But despite all their pleadings, she did not change her mind and forgive Abdullah. They said, you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it is not allowed for one Muslim to stay angry at another for more than 3 days. And she began crying. And she cried remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's words, and she said, but I swore an oath, and you know that swearing an oath is serious. So her heart was softening, and she, of course, followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's statement. She accepted the apology, and she paid the amount to free the slave because of breaking the oath, subhanallah. And she cried when she remembered this, and what she'd experienced, and people said that her hijab, her scarf, her shayla, became wet with tears. Allahu Akbar. This was the example of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. May Allah grant us generosity of heart and spirit. Make us of those who give and share. We've learned of how she shared her knowledge. And today we learn how she gave of everything that she owned in this material sense of the world. As we prepare to round up for the hour on the program today, I'll share with you our dua for today and then turn to your wonderful messages and correspondence that I love and look forward to reading, alhamdulillah. Today I want to share with you a dua which we should recite when we are praised. Often amongst our family, loved ones, friends, colleagues, someone praises us. Is there a dua that we should read at this time? Yes, indeed there is. Alhamdulillah. It appears in the works of Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and it says, what a man should say if he is praised. Makhlad ibn Malik narrated to us, saying, Hajjaj ibn Muhammad narrated to us, saying, Ibn al-Mubarak related to us. From Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani, from Adi ibn Artah, who said, When a man from the Sahaba was praised, he would say, Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yaqulun waghfir li ma la ya'lamun. And then some narratives have a third part, waj'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun. So I'll share with you the Arabic again and then the English of what this means. So when someone praises you for something you've done or said or made, here's what you should say. Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yaqulun waghfir li ma la ya'lamun waj'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun. O Allah, do not bring me to account for what they say, and forgive me what they do not know, and make me better than what they think. The dua again, Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yaqulun واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. And the English, O Allah, do not bring me to account for what they say, and forgive me what they do not know, and make me better than what they think. The dua again for when someone praises you. Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yaqulun واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. O Allah, do not bring me to account for what they say, and forgive me what they do not know, and make me better than what they think. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who remember Him. Remember that everything of goodness comes to us only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of those who remember Him and who praise Him. And we conclude with a dua. O Allah, we turn to You in repentance and in submission. Forgive us our sins. Grant us complete forgiveness that leaves no trace. Forgive our transgressions of Your commands and violations of the rights of people. And grant us victory over our shortcomings. O Allah, accept our du'as, accept our ibadah, and accept our good deeds that we do only for Your sake. O Allah, help us get closer to You as our end draws near. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. And that we conclude today's program and ask of Allah to make it in our scale of good deeds that weighs heavy, very heavy, on the day when there is no shade but His shade. Stay inspired, stay productive, keep reading, studying and learning Islam for a better lifestyle. Until we meet again on Tuesday, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.